You're listening to On The Pace on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
26-11, we've got a big week coming up and lots of action in Perth at the moment. Greg Hayes is there live in Perth. It'd be a bit hard to have him dead in Perth. How are you, Hazy?
Good morning, Cozzy. Really well. Looking forward to what should be a sensational race on Friday night at Gloucester Park, and it's the barrier draw has just made it all the more interesting.
And Lenny the Shark has made it all the more interesting too. How's the abscess?
Yeah, at the moment, the vets from Rawa want to have another look at him on Thursday. There were x-rays taken of Lenny the Shark yesterday. They wanted to make sure that everything was okay structurally. Now, the news is from those x-rays that structurally he is sound, but there's obviously still a bit of soreness from the abscess, so the vets are going to have another look at him on Thursday, and fingers crossed for connections that he's past fit to run. He's obviously drawn barrier number 4, he's the defending champion, and it will be better for the series and the race if he competed on Friday night. But I think it's going to be a pretty tough 48 hours for the Aiken stable. Obviously, they've got the joy and excitement of having Lenny of Hector JJ go through the series undefeated. And then they're also got the concern of what happens with Lenny the Shark. So not an easy time for the Aikens, I wouldn't think.
You don't want anything to go wrong when you're going towards a race like the Inter-Dominion final, do you? No matter what it is.
No, exactly right. And see, that's the biggest concern. David Aiken saying at the barrier draw on Sunday afternoon that once the abscess bursts and they're able to clean it out and it clears up, there's no problems whatsoever. He will be 100% sound on it. But obviously, you know, that doesn't happen click of the fingers. It's not a case of it going away, you know, within minutes of the abscess bursting. So they're obviously working on him very hard. They've put bar plates on him. They're obviously applying plenty of poultices in between or since last Friday and this Friday to try and get him, or Saturday and Friday, to try and get him to the race. And, you know, it basically becomes a test of horsemanship and time, you know, whether Dave can get him there.
Well, Josh Aiken joins you now.
Josh Aiken, he's the young man who will be driving Hector JJ going into Friday night's big one. Josh, mate, the barrier draw, probably not ideal, but at least you're in the final and you're driving a horse that's on the up.
Yeah, for sure. That's not the best draw, but, you know, it's a draw we're dealt, so we have to deal with it. And, yeah, it's just exciting to drive a horse like Hector. You know, his ability and his recent form, he can overcome it.
Well, this is the thing. Everyone's saying barrier 9's no good because, you know, you've got to put all your eggs in the one basket at the start. I think people are forgetting, you know, turn the clock back sort of 10 months or so, and this horse was lethal in races with a sit. He showed his very fast sprint at Menangle, winning the Len Smith Mile when he beat Lenny the Shark, and he went to Queensland and performed very well in the Winter Carnival when driven cold. So he's definitely no one-trick pony.
Yeah, for sure. His biggest asset is his speed, and he's exceptionally quick out the gate. But then again, he can sit off any sort of pace and still reel off a pretty quick last half, and he's done it a few times off the track, so that's the best thing about him. You know, he's versatile, we've got options. You just don't have to be set to one game plan with Hector.
Do you know inside your mind what you're doing?
To be honest, I actually haven't had a good chat to Dad about it yet. Haven't heard from him for a couple of days, so I haven't really spoken to him about the race yet. I think it's one of those ones where it could possibly, you know, come out for 50 metres and I'll know then if I'm going to get across or not. I'll then get a gauge of how many horses off the front line will be coming off the gate. And probably my initial plan will be to test the waters, and then I'll be able to see sort of after 50 metres who's coming out, who's restraining. And then play it by ear from there.
Mate, one thing we have noticed with Hector JJ is that you've basically had a bit of an armchair ride the last two heats. Has he felt that good? Has he just felt like a motor car in the final stages? Because you haven't had to get too worried at any stage at Bunbury or at Gloucester Park last Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. I came back last Friday night and I said to Dad, I've never had a horse win a race and go to the line on the bit like Hector did in that race, which he had no right to do. You know, I felt like I had another 400 metres of horse left under me. That's the most pleasing thing. You know, he had a pretty tough run his first heat, and he just flat out saw him, but his last two heats, he's done it within himself, on the bit, plugs in, and he's just pulled up really well from those runs. And just speaking to Kima the last couple of days, she's telling me that he feels as fresh as ever, and he's pretty up and about. So, you know, there was a question mark about getting through the three runs, and he's definitely got through the three runs, and if not, he's come out, you know, a lot better.
You're obviously going to talk to your dad about tactics. Is there any other person in the industry that you look to for advice on some occasions that's helped you in your career, you know, with tactics and with decisions that you make in races?
Yeah, there are a couple of drivers that I, you know, look to get feedback off, and a couple of trainers as well. Andy Guth's always good for form advice. He knows all the horses, and he's watched a lot of races, so he's always good for advice. And one of the owners is a form student, so he's a form expert. So I look to him for a fair bit of advice as well. But you know, I watch a lot of videos myself, and even going back to, you know, on the Mighty Queens in the Dominion, and watched all the heat replays from that year. Most trainers and drivers are good. If you have a question, they're usually there to help you out.
And what about nerves? Have they kicked in yet?
No, it was pretty funny. I was a little bit nervous the first heat, and it must have just been the horse. He gives you the confidence. It's more anxious energy than nervous energy. You sort of want the race to already, you know, be on. If the race could be tomorrow, I'd ask for it to be. So it's more just, you know, anxious nerves, you know, just waiting for the race to happen. But yeah, no doubt when the crowd's packed out and we're going onto the track, I'll start getting a little bit nervous. But like I said, Hector gives you confidence, and you know, the owners give you confidence, and that's been the most pleasing thing. There's been no internal pressure. All the pressure's coming, you know, externally. So it's really great.
We will ask you about Lenny the Shark. Obviously, you haven't spoken to your dad in the last couple of days, but before you left Perth on Saturday, what was the feeling in the camp, you know, now that the abscess had been diagnosed and that there was some reason for that soreness? Was the feeling that they could turn Lenny around and get him to the race?
Yeah, the best thing that Dad thought, he said, "Oh, I've got 7 days." And when it comes to a foot, that's a fair bit of time. So he was reasonably confident that, you know, he could, you know, work with his vet and with a farrier and get him right, you know, in the time that he's got. Just feedback from Kima, like they've been doing a lot of work on it. They changed his shoeing yesterday and there was immediate improvement, and that's all they're looking for at the moment, just day-to-day improvement. But Dad was reasonably confident that he could get it right.
When do you arrive in Perth?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Well, I would say the next 72 hours or so are going to be pretty slow for you as you count down to race time. We wish you all the best of luck on Friday night, and maybe, just maybe, you this time next week you'll be an Inter-Dominion winning driver. Good luck.
Mate, appreciate it.
There he is, Cozzy, Josh Aiken. He's the young reinsman who is going to be driving Hector JJ. Look, just to put it into some perspective, here is a young guy who hasn't been driving for all that long, and Gavin Lang, who drove Hector JJ since he arrived at the Aiken stable, was, you know, obviously the pick for the stable. But when Gavin decided to link with the Emma Stewart camp for the Inter-Dominion Series, the connections of Hector JJ needed a driver. They went with young Josh Aiken. So there was pressure on him straight away from the start, but he has handled the pressure so well, and he is going to be driving the short price favourite on Friday night. So it's a really good story, and for his sake, I hope he makes the right decision in the when the green light goes, because obviously in a game in an industry where there's a lot of people who second guess decisions, It's going to be probably something that can make his career.
You'd love to have a heart rate monitor on him as they're about to go, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly right. He's one of these new kids coming up, one of the younger generation who reckon they don't feel pressure. His first Inter-Dominion experience, I was talking to him on the weekend, and he said his first Inter-Dominion experience was when Blacks are Fake won in Tasmania, in Hobart, and I think that was 2006, and he was an 11 or 12-year-old kid. It made me feel a bit old, but, he's just enjoying the wave of emotion that he's riding at the moment, so good luck to him.
Kyle Harper is joining you now.
Yeah, Kyle's going to be driving, and he also trains Betters Fire, who's drawn barrier number 8 on Friday night, but one thing that Kyle does have in his favour, that he's driving an explosive beginner from the arm. He's another one. We've spoken with Josh Aiken already. Josh has got a big decision to make at the start of the race, but so too is Kyle Harper, and he's joining us on the show. Morning, Kyle.
Morning, Greg. Pleasure to be here.
Mate, thanks for your time. How are your nerves going into Friday night's race? Are you feeling any in the lead-up to it?
No, I'm just enjoying it, Greg. I've been fortunate that the nerves have never really been an issue for me. I just see them as another race that sort of doesn't really matter unless you finish up in that forward position and the prize money's a little bit better at the end of the night, but you don't finish up there. It's just another race, so I sort of just look at it that way, and I've always got a nice horse in these races, so he usually makes up for anything I do wrong. I think we'll be all right.
I know you've been in the stewards' room this series already with comments you've made in media interviews, so you probably play your cards a little bit closer to your chest than you normally would, but have you worked out what you're doing on Friday night off the arm?
Yeah, that's right, Greg. I've got to be a little bit careful what I say, but to tell you the truth, right at this very stage, I've got no idea what I'm doing. I've made up my mind about 100 times and I've changed it about 150 times. Big decision to make. As you said before, he's got explosive gate speed. I think he can nearly get across, find the top, but at what cost over the 2,900? He's quick enough to hold Hector JJ. I think Hector JJ is a little bit quicker than us. He'd probably, if I was to go back, have a little bit easier time getting across than we would, but I think he can definitely get there if I really light him up, but just a long race, 2,900. He's fortunate that he doesn't have to lead. If the race is run to suit, he can go back, sit and kick. He can work around middle stages if there's a position up in the breeze. I'm not sure I can see that happening. It's a tricky one to read, Greg.
In 2015, in the WA Pacing Cup, you did fire out. You found the top. Obviously, you were forced to work very hard in the early stages of that race, and I think they went a 94.5-second lead time, which really put paid to your chances. And I guess that's what you're saying, isn't it? If you come out on roller skates and you do find the top, at what cost? And is your race over by the time you get round to the judge the first time?
Spot on, mate. That was... took a chance. I rolled the dice, and we did have to do a lot more work than we thought we would get there. I think after the lead time, he was still some sneaky chance. Well, after the first couple of hundred, when we got there, he was still some sneaky chance of running the play. So I sort of thought 26 first quarter, his winning chance is over, but he can still run the place if we can pinch a bit. Or even I think David Hercules was probably the one to beat that year if we took a trail on him, but there's a little bit of a dummy spit and a mid-race move, and we sort of went hell for leather in the middle stages again, so that really finished all our chances. But I think if we hadn't gone that middle burn as well, he probably runs the place. But just bad memories from that one, Greg, so it sort of weighs on you a little bit. And I think if there's a little bit of speed from Hector and run one over, if we were to go back, that brings us all right back into it. But at the same time, it's handy to be up there across the park. Even at Bunbury, 1,000-metre track, you saw all the horses, the speed they run these days. You've really got to be up in that top four. But, decisions.
If you were driving Hector JJ, would you go forward at the start?
That's a hard one. I've never sat behind him, but just watching him on the telly, I think he's just that little bit sharper than my bloke out of the gate. I probably would. I probably would. I think he's definitely got the speed to get across. I'm sort of, I mean, again, not having sat behind him, it's a hard question to answer, but I think 95% I can get across with my bloke. So I think that other 5%, Hector JJ, has just got that little bit touch more speed. I think that's probably puts him up at the 99% chance to get across, which I think if he finds the top and doesn't grab a whole lot of pressure after that, is a big chance. So probably I would lean more to go forward with him. But again, that's a big decision. And yeah, I'm sure Josh will make the right call. He's doing a fantastic job with his horse. Yeah, he's made all the right calls so far, and I'm sure he'll make the right call again Friday.
Kyle, what about the story to get Betis Fire through to an Inter-Dominion Grand Final after the issues the horse has had in his career? He obviously has had a few little injuries that you've had to really look after. I would say that would have to be, you know, to get this horse through to the final is one of the highlights of your career.
It really is, Greg. You know, like it's a funny week, and it's been a mixed bag of emotions for me. It's a situation where I say, geez, we've got a great horse. We've got a horse that can win an Inter-Dominion Grand Final. He's well enough and he's fit enough and he's happy enough to win an Inter-Dominion Grand Final the way he is, well, the way he was last Friday night. I'm sure he'll be there next Friday. And that's something I don't say lightly. You know, he really is high-flying, and I've never had the horse better. And that's a great feeling to have, especially after all these niggles and problems in the past and the bad luck story we had last year. So that's a great feeling and a great accomplishment, I feel, for myself to have got the horse to this point with all these little tricks he's got, because he's not easy, but, you know, as most good horses aren't. But at the same time, then you sit there and go, well, I've got a horse that I think can win an Inter-Dominion. He's flying, he's well enough, everything's gone as great as it can through the series, and then you draw out an eight, it's a little bit disheartening. So it's really a mixed bag of emotions, but it's a pretty good spot to be in, to say you've got a horse that can win one, but you've drawn bad. You know, it's a good bad situation to be in, if you understand.
Mm-hmm. Mate, it's a great story. Congratulations on getting through to the final, and good luck in the race on Friday night.
Thanks very much, buddy. Appreciate it.
There he is, Kyle Harper. He's the young trainer driver of the WA runner Betis Fire going into Friday night's final. And look, he is, you know, he's got that early speed. So he's another layer to the early speed burn. And maybe what he does early will decide what Josh Aitken does early. So we look forward to that one, Cozzy. There was a little bit of controversy at the barrier draw on Sunday afternoon. Mm. Gareth Hoare was hosting the function. And I think basically what was happening, horse names were being drawn out of envelopes, and then a connection would come forward and actually pick up a horse's head that was on the table, and a trophy, and on the bottom of that horse's head trophy was the barrier they were starting in. Well, Hector JJ was about the third horse out, and Gareth, of course, being a part owner in the horse, he was on stage. He called Mick Harvey, the managing owner, over and said, oh, you know, pick the horse's head. And he picked up a horse head that was a nine or a six. Gareth said, oh, that looks like a six. Yep, barrier six for Hector JJ. Well, anyway, about three horses later, out, I think it was Franco Nelson, the connections of Franco Nelson came forward to draw out, and they said, after they drew the horse's head, they said, well, we've drawn six.
Oh.
And so then the stewards had to go and have a look at the barrier that Hector JJ drew in and check who was actually going to start from barrier six. So in the end, Hector JJ had actually drawn nine, and Franco Nelson will start from six. So a little bit of controversy, but it was all taken in really good heart, and Gareth did a fantastic job as MC of that function on Sunday.
Hey, worth a roll of the dice, don't worry.
Well, that's what Gareth said. He said, I've nearly pulled off the biggest coup in Inter-Dominion history.
So, Luke McCarthy's on the phone, probably smiling to himself. He's about to join you.
Beautiful. Luke, thanks very much for your time, mate. Bling it on. The barrier draw couldn't have worked out any better for you on Sunday when you came up with barrier one.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, we're really stoked to come up with a good draw, and we sort of felt for us to be a legitimate chance, we needed to draw really well. So, you know, we think now we've got a good draw, we've got a live chance.
Hector JJ comes into the final as the favourite, and obviously the camp very happy with him because he's getting better as the series going on. But your bloke's in that same boat too. You're saying that there's you know, he's had a little bit of condition there, and he's been getting fitter with each run. So you've drawn well, and you've got a horse that's coming into the final on an upward spiral, which is great news.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. He hasn't had a hard run through the series. He sort of had some good trips, and you know, now we've got the good draw. He's, you know, hopefully we can just sort of settle handy right on the pace there somewhere, and you know, he just needs a touch of luck. But he's yeah, he seems to be going really well.
Who do you think's going to lead in the early stages? Are you thinking run one over might be able to hold the front from barrier two, or do you think, you know, there's going to be pressure from out wide from Hector JJ and horses like Better's Fire as well?
I think if Josh really asks Hector, I think he'll cross them. He's just got that natural high speed, and you know, he seemed to get a bit of momentum up in that back straight start at Gloucester Park. So, you know, he probably will have the speed to get across all of them, I would say. But just who kicks up underneath him, you know, there's probably a few there with gate speed. So we'll just come out as quick as we can and sort of hold the best forward position that we can.
That last start, we actually had you on the show after the smoking up and that last run in Melbourne before he came across to Perth. He showed really good gate speed that night. You got involved in the early speed battle for a couple of hundred metres, and you were out pretty hard on that occasion.
Yeah, well, Major Crocker flies out of the gate, as you know, and I sort of thought he would get across the ones inside him a touch easier, so I buzzed across with him for the first initial furlong, and we actually headed him as we went 100 metres, but they were going too quick, so I had to grab hold and duck in. But, you know, he has got the gate speed there if we decide to ask him.
The stables had a bit of success with the family of Bling It On. Obviously, we know the performances of Baby Bling, but it'd be nice for the broodmare to see Bling It On run a super race and win the Inter Dominion on Friday night.
Oh, for sure. It's been a great family for us. Like, Baby won a Miracle Mile, and, you know, this horse has been fantastic right from the time he was two, winning in Breeders' Crowns, and, you know, he's made over $1 million now, and hopefully we can enjoy, you know, the next couple of seasons with him. So, you know, I think he's stood up now and showed that he's up with the better horses racing in the country, and hopefully just stays sound and healthy, and he should keep going well.
Have you ever had Barrier 1 in an Inter Dominion final? You've driven in a few.
No, this is the best draw, you know, I've had, and especially on the half mile tracks, it's so important. So, no, we're looking forward to Friday night.
Well, mate, all the best of luck, and I know that there'll be a big cheer squad there for you on Friday night. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, Hazy.
There is Luke McCarthy, Cozzy. He's the driver of Bling It On, and he was the big mover in the market after the barrier draw on a Sunday. Just quickly through that barrier draw with the market with tab.com.au. Hector JJ's 240, run one over for the Hall Stable at 420. You've got Bling It On at $6, Lenny the Sharks at $5.50, and Bodine Boaz is the next in the market at $10. So that's the market from tab.com.au. Special in the gig tonight, as per normal, 6 o'clock, live from Gloucester Park. Our special guest, it'll be Gareth and myself, but our special guest will be David Aiken on the show. He will give us the full update on Lenny the Shark and what the plans are with him over the next 48 hours. And then we have a special in the gig coming your way from Perth on Thursday. That will be on Sky Racing 2 from 7 o'clock. It will be a full Inter Dominion preview. Gareth, myself and Adam Hamilton will bring you all the action for that. So make sure you tune in the gig tonight from 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2, David Aiken, special guest, and a special in the gig on Thursday night from 7 o'clock, full preview of the $1.1 million final.